Thank you. Good morning, Montreal. Thank you for listening to CKUT this morning. I am joined on the phone by Yves Engler, who has written a book called Canada in Haiti, Waging War on the Poor Majority. Good morning, Mr. Engler.
Good morning, Joe.
And you are currently on a book tour, and you're in Halifax? Is that it?
I'm on my way between Charlottetown and Halifax.
How's that going?
It's going pretty well. We're in Summerside, PEI right now.
It's a cold up there because we are starting to get, the cold front is coming in here in Montreal.
It's definitely cold up here.
Yeah. I was hoping to be joined by Kevin Pina, who is a journalist in Port-au-Prince, but we're having trouble getting through to him on the phone. He told me yesterday that he's been trying for 4 years to get a landline down there, and he still can't get one, so we were trying to catch him on his cell phone, but doesn't look like it's going to go through. Hello?
Yeah?
I want you to... We're going to discuss Canada's participation in Haiti this morning, and if you could just give our listeners a little background on actually when and how Canada ended up into the intervention of Haiti and the takeover of Haiti.
Well, I mean, the simple story is that on February 29th, 2004, when U.S. Marines forced Haiti's elected President Jean-Bertrand Aristide onto a plane and out of the country and dumped him in Central African Republic, according to Paul Martin, our Prime Minister, Canadian soldiers were securing the airport that Aristide says he was kidnapped from.
So they were already there.
Canadian forces were on the ground before there was a UN resolution. Not that would have changed anything, but it's important to note, before any UN resolution had been passed, Canadian forces were on the ground. And that is in contradiction to when Aristide's government asked for a handful of peacekeepers to support the constitutional, the elected government in Haiti from this rebellion launched by a former Haitian army, an army that Aristide disbanded in 1995, that were coming over from the Dominican Republic, killing police officers, killing political supporters of Aristide throughout the month of February 2004. So Canadian involvement in its intense phase starts the day before Aristide was overthrown, with Canadian soldiers actually present when he was being ushered out of the country by U.S. Marines. But in fact, the Canadian involvement in the destabilization campaign of the elected government starts before that. It includes cutting off assistance to the elected government. It includes diverting funding to NGOs, but always to Haitian NGOs, always Haitian NGOs that were in opposition to the elected government. And it actually includes a meeting in July 31st and February 1st of 2003, where, as reported in L'Actualité magazine, at the request of Canadian officials, French, American, and El Salvadorian officials were invited to Ottawa to discuss Haiti's future, but no one from Haiti's elected government was invited. And on the agenda at this meeting was, again, according to March 15th, Actualité magazine, was the ouster of Aristide or getting rid of Aristide and putting Haiti at UN tutelage was discussed at this meeting. So Canada was involved militarily in the overthrow of the elected government, but was also involved in the destabilization campaign that preceded the overthrow.
And right now Canada is participating. How they are training the military, and are they performing any other operations? Like are they? There have been reports that people have been massacring Aristide supporters, going into the poor, impoverished neighborhoods and just wiping people out. Is Canada participating in that? Or they're training people, and then those people who are trained are going in and doing this? Or how's that
working? For sure. Canada is more than just... Canada is directly responsible for much of this killing. series of different ways. One, as you pointed out, training the Haitian police. But Canada is also responsible for the UN police force. So there's about 6,000 to 7,000 UN soldiers and about 1,600 UN police officers. Canada's in charge of the UN police officers. And the main job of the UN police officers, as well as the 100 or so RCMP officers on the ground, is to support and to train the Haitian National Police. And it's the same Haitian National Police that on August 20th, for instance, went into a soccer game in Martisson, which is a neighborhood of the capital, Port-au-Prince. There's a soccer game that attended by as many as 5,000 people, put on by USAID for peace and reconciliation. At this game, Haitian police went into the stadium at halftime, got on the microphone and told everyone to lie down, and then armed attachés that they had brought with them, armed with machetes, proceeded to massacre as many as 50 people.
Oh, okay.
And this was reported on by Reuters, by The Guardian, by Newsday, and actually I think there was even a little mention of it in the Gazette. But for the most part, the Canadian media doesn't really cover this. But Canada is involved in the training and the supporting of the Haitian police, but also Canada is involved in giving massive funding. While they cut off assistance to the elected government, the Aristide government, they've given over $100 million and plans for $180 million over the 2 years of this illegitimate government that was installed after Aristide was overthrown. And the Canadian government has bestowed an immense amount of political legitimacy on this completely illegitimate government put in place that is perpetrating these massacres. Paul Martin made the first ever trip by a Canadian Prime Minister to Haiti on November 14th of last year. There's been a couple conferences in Montreal back in December of 2005 and the more recent one in June of 2005, where Canadian officials organized these conferences and mostly to sort of bestow political legitimacy on the illegitimate, murderous regime of Gérard Latossu that's been put in place. It's important that we keep in mind that this regime that's been put in place in Haiti has absolutely no base of support within Haiti, and it's totally reliant upon the foreign occupation, the occupation forces that, as I pointed out, Canada leads the policing forces of that occupation forces.
Well, I mean, I was on the internet and I saw pictures just even 2 days ago. People who were just peacefully protesting were just gunned down in the street.
Yeah, and it's happened on, I don't know how many times. There's actually just a whole report put out by the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti, and I think you can find it at igdh.org, and I didn't have a chance to look at it, just about how many demonstrations have been either fired upon where a handful of protesters have been killed, or been dispersed by police or UN forces. We're into the dozens of times over the last 18 months. Almost a sort of regular occurrence where a protester or four or five or eight get killed at a demonstration. And these are demonstrations calling for the return of constitutional order, calling for the return of Jean-Bertrand Aristide. And another little point I want to point out is that it wasn't just Aristide that was overthrown. It was thousands of elected officials. All the elected mayors and senators and the parliamentarians all across the country who were overthrown on February 29th, 2004.
Well, now, Aristide, he was democratically elected twice, right?
Correct, and he's been overthrown in U.S. Baku's twice as well.
And what is actually behind, what is the interest for Canada and the U.S.? What is the interest there in doing this? What is the economic interest? Do you know?
Well, the economic interest, a couple of Montreal connections to it, a Gildan Activewear, a Montreal-based company that is, I believe it's the biggest T-shirt producer for the U.S. market. They outsource a number of contracts with Andy Aped, who is the leader of this group of 184 in Haiti, the supposed civil society organization that helped to overthrow Aristide. Gildan outsources a number of contracts with Andy Aped, and Gildan actually has some of their own factories in Haiti, and they weren't happy when Aristide increased the minimum wage in 2003. So there's that kind of corporate interest. There's a number of resource companies actually based in Montreal as well, Saint-Geneviève and KWG Resources, that have concessions for copper and gold. And back in the mid-90s, they planned to exploit this, and there was an uprising from some of the peasantry, and essentially Aristide was blamed, even though he wasn't in power at the time, he was blamed for having sort of spurred this uprising. So you have a couple of Canadian companies that aren't happy with the Aristide government. And in terms of, I think that part of this is explained also by integration between Canada and the U.S. And, you know, at the same time that the Canadian government is organizing this meeting to plan Aristide's overthrow in January of 2003, at the same time as the Liberal government was telling the Bush administration that they wouldn't officially join the U.S.'s invasion of Iraq. As we know, they obviously have joined in a non-official capacity in selling bullets, etc. But so I think part of it's explained by being friends with the U.S. administration. And a final reason is when Aristide was returned in 1994 on the back of U.S. troops, he was returned on the condition that he adopt the economic program of the candidate he beat, Marc Bazin. And to a certain extent, he did. This was a neoliberal economic program. To a certain extent, he did adopt it, cutting tariffs cutting tariffs on rice and other agricultural products and subsidies to the peasantry. And he did privatize a couple of state-owned companies. But he didn't privatize five other state-owned companies, including the telecom company, which is the big prize. And the American administrations have never been happy about that. And I think the same thing goes for Ottawa. And there's different Canadian corporate interests that wouldn't mind getting a hand on some of these state-owned companies.
Incredible. Is there a backlash? Are we seeing a backlash? I mean, is there an uprising against all of this this catastrophe, or no? I mean, are they being shut down so quickly that nothing's happening?
Well, in Haiti, I mean, I'm actually one of the reasons you might not have been able to get in touch with Kevin today is today is September 30th, which is the anniversary of Aristide's first overthrow in 1991, 8 months into being the first democratic elected president in Haiti. He was overthrown in what we later found out was a CIA-backed coup. It's September 30th of 1991. So today, I would be surprised that while the de facto government in Haiti has banned all protests until October 2nd, conveniently until October 2nd, just after the anniversary today, I would expect there to be fairly significant protests in Haiti, even though there's a ban on protests. And I think there's obviously also a high likelihood that the Haitian police or UN forces perpetrate another massacre and repress the demonstration. But I would expect there to be demonstrations today. There have been demonstrations repeatedly. And there's been thousands, tens of thousands have taken the street on dozens of occasions over the last 18 months, and especially between the period of February and May of this year, there's demonstrations of thousands of people, tens of thousands of people on a seemingly bi-weekly basis. But as I pointed out earlier, what's going on in Haiti and the destiny of Haiti is as much in our hands as Canadians as it is in Haitians' hands. The regime in place is totally reliant upon the foreign forces mainly being Canada, France, and the U.S., the three countries that overthrew Aristide, obviously now with the Brazilian forces to a certain extent leading the military force of the U.N. occupation. But I think that what we need, we don't just need to see an uprising in Haiti, and obviously that's an uprising under immense amounts of repression and very dangerous. We need an uprising in Canada to change the situation in Haiti. It really is on our shoulders to a certain extent to reduce the repression, to release these hundreds, probably thousands of political prisoners, including the constitutional prime minister, constitutional interior minister, and a number of other high-profile political activists. So I think it's really up to us in Canada to build a solidarity movement to provide Haitians with a space to change their unjust social system.
And one of the interesting things about Kevin Pina and the journalists down there, they're being locked up and beaten, right?
Yeah, well, Kevin was arrested 3 weeks ago, thrown in jail for 72 hours, and then after international outcry, was released. Him and another Haitian journalist, Jean Ristil, Haitian journalist, done some very courageous work in terms of videotaping, for instance, a UN massacre on July 6th when UN forces went into Cité Soleil, the largest and poorest slum of the capital, Port-au-Prince. And Jean Ristil he has a camera, and he was able to film the number of people dying on camera. And actually, I just showed it in a meeting I had here last night in Charlottetown, in Kevin Pina's new film that is actually going to be shown at in Concordia. And Kevin Pina is going to be in Montreal on Monday at Concordia, 7 p.m. as part of Cinema Politica. At Concordia, 7 p.m. H110 of the Hall Building, and people can come out and see the footage that's been done by both Kevin and Jean Ristil, the person he was put in jail with Kevin. And Kevin wasn't just thrown in jail a couple weeks ago, but he was actually beat on June 4th by off-duty Haitian police officer. And this was a couple weeks after, as you'll see in the film tomorrow or on Monday night, if people want to go out. He was actually beat by off-duty Haitian police officer after UN forces told him they were going to give his picture to the Haitian police, and the Haitian police were going to get him, as you can hear on the film. So yeah, the Haitian, and there's been a number of Haitian journalists that have been killed. Kevin has the fortune of being white and having a U.S. passport, which gives him a little bit extra space, but still. These Haitian police, the UN forces, and this de facto government in power has shown a willingness to murder journalists and to beat journalists. And without a doubt, they've thought about eliminating Kevin.
Okay, can you give our listeners maybe some ideas of what they can actually do, who they should contact, maybe some websites that they can visit that so they can. Take some action against what's happening?
Yeah, I think the first thing is information. I think people just need information. We have to expose Canada's role in this. So outofhaiti.ca, outofhaiti.ca website, CanadaHaitiAction.ca, another website, HaitiAction.net, which is the website that the Haiti Information Project, which Kevin and Jean Ristil are part of, HaitiAction.net. That's more of a U.S. focus. IT Progrès for French, so itprogres.com. And people who want lots of information in French, AHP Haiti, Agence Haïtienne Presse, so it's AHPHaiti.org. And I really invite people to come out on Monday night. We now have, we just printed 119,000 stickers that say Canada out of Haiti. We have activists all across the country putting those up so people come out on Monday night, and there'll be stickers there. There'll be books. There'll be Canada and Haiti Waging War in the Poor Majority books available. And that's also available at different stores. And basically, we're organizing. The Haiti Action Montreal in Montreal is organizing with the Haitian community, with the progressive sector of the Haitian community, organizing to expose and to combat. Actually, today, if people are interested, today at noon at the U.S. Embassy, which is on René-Lévesque, right next to SNC-Lavalin, the U.S. Embassy, René-Lévesque, and I'm forgetting the cross street, there's a protest from 12 to 3 o'clock today, a rally at the U.S. Embassy on the commemoration of September 30th. And actually, in 42 cities around the world, there are events being planned to commemorate the September 30th, and to say no to the current occupation, to say no to the overthrow of democracy in Haiti, say no to the repression going on, to demand the release of the political prisoners. So today at noon to 3 at the U.S. Embassy, led by the Haitian community in Montreal, there is a protest happening.
Okay, good. I've been speaking with Yves Engler. He has written He has written a book, and it's called Canada and Haiti Waging War on the Poor Majority. And we were unfortunately unable to speak with Kevin Pina, but he has a book called Haiti, The Untold Story. And I encourage...
It's a film.
Oh, it's a film. I'm sorry.
It's a film going to be shown on Monday night, 7:30 p.m. actually, at Concordia.
Concordia, okay. All right, well, I thank you for joining me this morning, and I hope some of our listeners will get up and take some action. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Joe.
Bye.
Take care.